Fascinating. All right, first time caller line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
My name is Carl. I'm calling from Southwest Florida.
Okay, Carl, you're going to have to yell at us because you're not easy to hear. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a comment and a question. My comment is, ever since I was a little kid, I always believed that you could control the mind or the weather with your mind. Growing up, I've always thought that. I always felt that I could do that. This is the first time I've ever heard someone say that you could actually do that and had proof.
Well, other shows would never talk about this kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't get on any other radio shows in Denver, so.
My question is, a couple of years ago I read a book called Autobiography of a Yogi.
Oh, yeah.
By Paramahansa Yogananda.
Uh-huh.
He talked about a part of the brain called the medulla oblongata.
Yes. Yes.
Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Is that the part of the brain that you're talking about supercharging with chi?
Well, the medulla oblongata is an old term that they hardly even use anymore. Mm-hmm. But what that is that's part of the reptile brain, actually. And the reticular activating formation, I believe, is in that area. And that's where consciousness starts. When you know the reticular activating formation in that part of the brain, when you're asleep, it's switched off. Or if you're in a coma, it's on-off. When you wake up in the morning, that switch goes on, and then you become aware of your environment. And it's like consciousness then leaves that area, and it goes up into the brain. The frontal lobe, where we're trying to activate and send the energy, is actually in just the opposite part of the brain. So we're starting at that area, but then we're moving up and out into the front.
All right, caller?
Yes.
Okay, good. There you are. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Neil. First-time callers, call area 702-727-1222.
Coast, Florida.
Okay, hold on a sec. You're not allowed to give your last name on the air, so we're going to have to start all over again. That's the only rule, we have no last name. So your first name is?
Mom, USA.
Okay.
In Florida.
In Florida.
Fires.
All right.
So my question is, if I'm right here with the fires, and I think really hard about this, along with everyone in Palm Coast.
Right.
Who are probably sleeping right now, so I don't think that's going to be highly effective.
They're dreaming of rain.
Pardon me?
They're probably dreaming of rain.
Oh, good. That's very reassuring. I'm having a hard time finding anyone to talk to at this hour, and I'm a night owl, and I'm keeping fire watch while my children and husband sleep.
Okay.
So I just had to take a ride to talk to a policeman to find out if we should be evacuating, because you can't get anything on the news here. It's incredible.
Hmm.
There's no phone number to call, so it's just been living in fear for the 2 days that we've been back from the first evacuation, and there's a fire a mile away from our house.
Oh, brother.
So my husband thinks I'm being paranoid because it was a beautiful day, and there was no smoke, and the wind must have been blowing the other way, and I'm saying, let's get the hell out of here, because we were stuck in traffic for 8 hours trying to evacuate the other day. I have no faith in the authorities to keep me informed, and the evacuation effort really was unorganized, unprofessional. Emergency vehicles were roaring up and down the shoulders of A1A as we sat there in gridlock. You could get on the news. Firestorm is happening. Gridlock on A1A.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we know how terribly serious the situation is, and I thank you for calling, and I don't blame you for staying up late. I suggest to you a lot of your neighbors probably are also up under these conditions. And I don't know that what we're doing will succeed, but I should suggest, since you don't have anything else to do apparently, you join us in trying to do what we're trying to do tonight, and that is create rain where you are. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hi.
Yes, this is Amy from Cincinnati.
Hi, Amy.
And I have two questions for you, actually.
All right.
The first is, I'm a performing musician, a conductor, and I was going to ask Mr. Slade, often when I get up to perform, I kick back into the fight or flight mode, you know.
Sure.
You can feel your heart racing, but I need to be using the frontal lobes.
Yeah.
and the chi, you know, to access in my conducting. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions to help me to do that consciously.
Right. Have you just started conducting?
No, actually, I've been conducting a while.
Yeah. I think what you can, you have to convert the fear into positive energy. And I've even heard from people like Jimmy Page, and he suffers from terrible stage fright. But he says, you know, what I do is I try to use that all that extra energy and channel it into positive energy that I can then share with the audience. So if you can visualize the all that nervous energy and clicking it forward and moving it out towards the audience and sharing that adrenaline rush and turning it around, see, just switching the gear. You take your amygdala, just like for a gear shift, and you, it's clicked into reverse, you click it forward, and then you send the energy out forward. And if you also visualize using the imaginative parts of your frontal lobes, visualize the way you want it to be and keep that picture in your mind and write it down. Write down a scenario in a notebook and keep working on the visualization and reprogram your brain, and eventually what will happen is the physical reality will catch up with what you are constructing in your abstract synthesized frontal lobe thoughts.
Okay.
All right.
Well, my second question, briefly, is I started taking a medication that was mind-altering somewhat. It's a seizure medication.
Yeah.
Serotonin medication.
Yeah.
And at the same time, my perfect pitch suddenly became skewed, and I rely on that heavily because I don't see very well.
Sure.
And I was wondering if there's anything I could do or anywhere you could suggest I go, because it's just incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. Well, you know, probably the prescription drug that you're taking is going to be altering the chemical pathways in your brain, and that's why you're noticing a change in brain function. Just because I'm a musician, I've seen ads in some of the musician magazines for training oneself towards perfect pitch. Now, previously, it sounds like you had a natural ability, but it sounds like you're going to have to retrain your brain to achieve this kind of pitch recognition through a different pathway. And you can do it. You know, you have lots of redundancy circuits in your brain, and I imagine it's probably going to be less difficult for you than somebody who never had the ability. So check out, like, a musician magazine or guitar player and look for David Burge has ads for learning perfect pitch. And, I would suggest that, and I think you'll probably be successful.
Fascinating. People can send you email. There are going to be a lot of people who want to ask you questions.
Yeah.
So let's see if I've got it right. It's N-E-I-L, Neil.
Yeah.
Slade, S-L-A-D-E.
That's one word.
Neil Slade, just one word, lowercase.
Yes.
N-E-I-L, S-L-A-D-E, @hotmail.com.
That's correct.
All right, good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Neil Slade at Coast to Coast AM. Hello? Well, I didn't push the button. Now you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, my gosh, what happened?
Well, I didn't push the button. Now I have, so you're
okay.
On the air.
This is Mary from Northern California near Chico.
Hi, Mary.
Hello there. And this is amazing. I have tried for over 2 years to call into your show with comments, questions, you know, hopping from one foot to the other.
Sure.
And tonight I said, I'm going to click my amygdala forward. And darn if you didn't answer in about the second or third ring.
No kidding.
No kidding. It's amazing.
Well, there you go. What more proof? I lost my case.
But I just had more of a comment than a question. And Neil, I'm delighted to hear you on Art again. I listened to your first show, and I emailed you then.
Are
and
you Mary
folks out there, Neil does a wonderful job of answering emails, and you get on his email list, and he sends you these absolutely delightful emails and updates.
Oh, thank you.
You're a sweetheart.
Are you Mary B?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, you. I think part of your... Let's see, you're in the Supercharge book. I took an excerpt from one of your emails.
Oh, cool.
Where you described what it, I believe was one of the results that you had from clicking forward, and it was such a good example, I put it in the book. So I should have sent you a free book.
outstanding. That was with the tarot cards, right? And the futures market?
Yes.
Yeah, if anybody wants to know what that was all about, they'll have to buy your book.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That was a very good example.
Yeah, but I also wanted to comment that cloud busting, when you sent emails out about that, I said, by gosh, I forgot all about that. I first started doing that 30 years ago. And darn if it doesn't work.
Doesn't it blow your mind?
Absolutely.
You think this is impossible, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you go out, and 3 minutes later, the clouds are moving in the way that you're projecting. It's one of these weird things. We don't know why it works. You know, normally telepathic and paranormal abilities are not really at the whim of your ego.
That's right.
You know, they're more for when you really need them. But for, I think because this is such a harmless activity,
mm-hmm.
That for some reason we're allowed to do this easily. And the first time it works for you, you go, it changes everything. Everything, your whole perception of your brain and how you are connected to the universe instantaneously changes.
Well, it's amazing, and especially once you've discovered how to make them go away, then you make them come back.
Yes.
And then you start making shapes. It's
a
lot of fun.
Now, I had never done that before, and on the video that I made, I noticed there was an area on the left side of the viewfinder, and I say, I've never done this before, but I heard you can do it. I'm going to try to make clouds move up and appear on the left side of the video. Now, the clouds are just perfectly stationary. 15 seconds later, a big cloud bank just goes whoosh, just like somebody pushes up with their hand and fills in the left side
now
of the viewfinder.
You've got, what, AVI files?
Those are actually GIF files. We made
GIF
this
files.
Snappy.
A series of GIF files.
There's a dozen, and you can watch that. If you look at the last, the one that I'm talking about right now is the cloud busting video number one, and at the very last frame, you can see the clouds start to go up on the left side.
Huh.
I didn't mention that on the page, but that's what's happening there.
All right, young lady, thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Nice talking to you.
Hey, I hope to hear you on Art Again.
Thank you.
Take care.
Guys.
Bye. First time caller line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hi.
Hi, my name is Ryan. I'm from Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
I had a question. Most of the night I've heard about the mind affecting the weather, and I was wondering if the mind could affect other things, such as like volcanology or anything like that.
Well, that's a damn good question, and I don't know that I know the answer. I suspect if we can do one, then maybe the other would follow. What do you think, Neil?
I talked to a friend about this who had actually given this quite a bit of thought, and her feelings were that, things really heavy stuff like volcanoes and earthquakes, they're reflecting our consensus consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a big negative field being produced by our human consciousness, well, it's just going to reverberate in the Earth's crust. Now, if I live downhill from a erupting volcano, I would not sit there and think, volcano stop. No, I'd get my ass out of there real quick.
I understand.
So I think there are limitations and
but maybe we don't fully understand what they are just yet.
Yeah.
What those limitations are.
Yeah.
And we have not tried large level experiments of the sort that we are trying this morning. And if that were to work, then it might be worth trying some other increasingly difficult things.
Absolutely.
All right, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Neil Slade. Hi.
Hi, this is Melissa calling from Portland.
Hello there.
Hey, good evening to both of you.
Hi.
I've had a question troubling me for a couple of years now. I had tried acid for the first time, and during that period, I watched the sun come up, and it was an extremely spiritual experience for me. I felt connected to the earth in a way I hadn't experienced before. And a couple of days after that, I was going on a walk with a friend, and I saw the sun go down in the exact same place I had seen it come up a few days before. And it bothered me. My rational mind couldn't explain it.
saw it go down where it came up.
I saw the sun go down in the east instead of in the west. In the exact same place. And what troubled me the most about this was I could have dismissed it, I guess, as a flashback or as my mind still being altered, I guess.
Yeah.
But my friend who had not taken the drug with me saw it before I did even. And I've always just kind of gone back to that in my head to this instance, and I was wondering if you could give me any insight as to how both of us were able to see this strange thing when we were on such different wavelengths at the time.
Yeah, I don't really have an explanation for it. I do know, and I've had a fair amount of experience with the kind of substances you're talking about in the past. I had an experience where my friend and I both could read each other's minds at the peak of this kind of experience, and we stopped being two different people. We became one mind that was floating in the center of the room, and it was something I will never ever forget.
That's the same kind of experience it was for me. It stuck with me more than probably anything I've ever seen before in my life.
Yeah. So I certainly our brain is just a cauldron of chemical. It's a chemical melting pot, you know. And I mean, by changing our brain chemistry one way or another, we can have just a whole variety of experiences. And just because you may ingest an outside chemical, it doesn't invalidate your your experience at all.
Neil, I wish we had more time, but we don't. Guess what? Program's over and all that kind of stuff. It has been such a pleasure having you on the air. What an informative, interesting program.
Thank you very much.
And we will absolutely have you back. So good luck with all your email, my friend.
Thank you very much.
And until next time, because there will be one, good night.
All right. Good night, Art.
All right.
It's been an honor.
Good night. Sorry we ran out of time, folks. We could have gone on and on and on and on with this, obviously. To get a copy of this program, well worth owning, you can call 1-800-917-4278. That is a 24-hour number and applies to any guest program that we do. It's 1-800-917-4278. Remember the experiment during the day today with Florida. Let us do our very best. Send out some good white light and do as Neil instructed. In the meantime, from the high deserts, where it's hot, I'm Art Bell. Good night.